from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
New Year's is here, and the National Catholic Register takes a look back at 2017. Among this year's highlights is the 100th anniversary of the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima, as well as the 100th anniversary of the devastating Russian Revolution. This year marked the defeat of ISIS, as well as the return of some Christians to Iraq. There was so much more that happened this year, and Joan Desmond, Joe Pronishin, Tom Wehner, and Kevin Knight, members of my wonderful National Catholic Register team, join me for a year-end review. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host of Register Radio.
And I'm Matthew Bunsen, Senior Editor with the National Catholic Register. This was a very busy year indeed, and one of the best ways to appreciate 2017 fully is to see it all through the eyes of the reporters and the editors who covered it and helped our readers to understand it. Joe Pronishin and Joan Desmond are joining us to talk about this year's highlights.
You know, our look back isn't only about the big news, but it's also about what touched us personally. I started 2017 with a three-month-old baby and a move across the country from Denver, Colorado to Birmingham, Alabama. It was a big change, and our country had a big change, too. As President Donald Trump was sworn into office with his drastically different style and agenda than his predecessor, Barack Obama. One memorable moment, though, for me at the start of President Trump's term was not actually related to him, but related to Vice President Mike Pence. He showed up at the March for Life in Washington, D.C. I remember all of the excitement from the people who were there on the ground. And Matthew, I think you were among those people.
Yeah, I had the privilege, in fact, of being very close to the vice president when he was just about to give his speech before the March for Life. And I can guarantee that the excitement that was there is something that people are still talking about today. And I think it represented the excitement of the pro-life community in and their hopes for 2017. Many of those, of course, were realized, not to downplay the fact that there are a lot of challenges ahead of us.
That's right. Of course, one of those excitements was the Supreme Court nominee of Neil Gorsuch. But there are also other areas of the pro-life movement that we reflected on this year, I think, that were very important to highlight. Joan, you had a great story about an area of a pro-life coverage.
Well, one thing that really stood out for me was a story about Human Coalition. And by the way, Jeanette, it's always a pleasure to be on the show and to be here with Matthew and Joe. So what was interesting for me is I've been covering the pro-life beat a long time, as have many of our other reporters in both national and state levels and even local ways. We know a lot of the pro-life leaders. I was very struck by the story of Human Coalition, which is a new organization for Catholics. It had more of an evangelical focus initially, but now it's really broadened out its message. There's a lot of Catholic support. And it's a group that has used analytics, which data analytics, which is now more and more accessible to us, to better study and improve outreach to women contemplating abortion. And Human Coalition analyzed the impact of outreach online, the kind of search words that we all use for Google. Well, imagine if you're a woman thinking about abortion and you Google abortion, and maybe your mind's not entirely made up. And on the list of search results is something that gets you to think, and then you call, and what happens next? Well, they really fine-tuned this whole search process to make sure the phones were answered in a timely way, to think about how when that woman came in, still not quite sure what she was going to do, how she would be received, how her questions would be answered in a transparent, respectful manner. I was just very struck. They have dramatically improved the outcomes of that whole engagement process, which is what we all want. And it was just a lesson for the pro-life movement, which is always looking to improve what it does at all levels of this effort. And so it's a great story of hope.
Absolutely. And it's an important way to change the culture. So that was a wonderful story. Joe, what about you? What are the highlight stories for you?
Gee, I happen to have several, but obviously the Fatima stories were a big highlight. I did quite a number of those in various aspects of Fatima, and including little-known or interesting facts about Fatima that I was able to dig out from various places. You know, one of them, for instance, that struck me, and I talked to the person who had talked to the original viewer of this miracle, and this was several years ago, and there was actually a second miracle right after the miracle of the sun for a small smaller group at Fatima, and there were just such interesting things, such as in this case, it was the people had all put their rosaries near the children, because this was a group standing near the children, and they were in a big pile all tangled up. And they wondered how they were going to get them apart, because they were hoping the Blessed Mother would, you know, would shine upon the rosaries, bless the rosaries. And what had happened was one of the seers, the woman couldn't remember whether it was Lucia or Jacinta. It was one of those two, picked up the rosaries and just this whole bunch, and just start handing them out, and everybody, rosaries untangled, and everybody got their own rosary back. She didn't know whose rosary was what, but immediately handed out. So they considered that a miracle, and she never got over that. And this was, you know, back in the 80s, he talked to her, and she still remembered it as if it had happened yesterday.
It's so awesome to hear those kind of stories. You know, the Register celebrated its 90th this year, and looking back at those papers, we could see other kinds of stories like that that were covered over the years related to miracles and to other saints. And I remember particularly ones related to Saint Bernadette soon after she had been canonized. And they were the same kind of miracles, Joe. It was so great to follow your blog and all of your writing this year talking about Our Lady of Fatima, because it was a huge moment in the life of the church back then, and of course today. And I think when we look back at this year in terms of our numbers, if we looked at the traffic that we got to ncregister.com, we're going to see how much traffic was generated by that particular story on all the stories on Fatima. It was just a huge event in the course of this year.
Well, what was interesting, Joe, is that you really became our go-to person for our coverage of Fatima. And I know that people all over the country were looking forward to everything you were writing on it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Matthew. Yeah. I hope to continue. Tom wants me to continue on bringing the Fatima message for a bit. So I'll be doing that. And during the coming months, you know, we'll try to dig out some new facts or about Fatima, or in this case, some. I just completed one of the stories on Sister Lucia and why she explains that the rosary is a must to say daily, and she has beautiful explanations for that. And I'm just completed one, and it'll be soon on our website. Sister Lucia explains why we need to be dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So that's something to look forward to for our readers.
Well, Joe, I think you'll be taking up this Fatima theme from Father Apostoli now that he has died, and we can continue to carry his message out to many others. Joan, I wanted to turn back to you because there was another very interesting story that you did early last year. In a year that was filled with a lot of struggle, of trial, of temptations, our last editorial was called Trials and Temptations, but in this year with a lot of struggle, you wrote something about happiness that also did very well amongst our readers.
Yeah, it was really a great opportunity. It was an interview I did with Aaron Cariotti, a really rising, very interesting, he's a psychiatrist. He teaches at UC Irvine, University of California at Irvine, so in my home state. Down south, he covers a range of issues. He's an expert on suicide. Also, spoke out against assisted suicide issues. That's a pretty dark issue, but Aaron is also very engaged in the issue of happiness. What makes us happy? How our whole definition of what happiness is has changed, And it just is in a year with a lot of trials for people, you know, natural disasters, mass shootings, a lot of political ferment and you know, chaos. Thinking about happiness, it was a great opportunity for me to kind of drill into this topic and learn from somebody who knows so much. And I think he offered a couple of really interesting insights that I think we could all pick up on. He noticed, for example, you know, in the past, I'm, you know, older, and when I was younger, it was all Freudian psychology, but now a lot of psychologists have actually adopted themes that are already very familiar to Christians and Catholics, and that would include issues of gratitude, for example, and forgiveness, how expressing gratitude on a daily basis, how consciously thinking about why we should be grateful to God and to, you know, our spouse, our family, our friends, coworkers, just the small things of creation, how important that is, and the same regarding forgiveness, as opposed to necessarily belaboring the past in ways that can't really be changed, how forgiveness allows us to transcend these things and actually change our whole mindset. So I mean, we know this as Catholics, but it was interesting to have the science behind it and interesting to see how psychologists are adopting it. I also want to give a shout out for all our coverage of Father Solanus Casey's beatification. And that's just a huge topic that I think all of us learned a lot on.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk a bit more about that in our very next segment when we have Tom Wehner and Kevin Knight, other staff members joining us to talk about the look back. But Joan and Joe, on that note of gratitude, I want to just thank you for all of your reporting. You get down into the trenches and you really cover the news and you really get to know the people who are making the Catholic news. So thank you very much. When we come back, we'll be joined by Tom Wehner and Kevin Knight, staff members of the Register, and continuing our look back of the year-end review here on Register Radio, EWTN Global Catholic Network. Stay tuned.
Father Wade Menezes talks about the National Catholic Register.
As the National Catholic Register celebrates its 90th anniversary, I think that says a lot about the publication. It works. It's solidly Catholic. It presents the teachings of the Church, unabashedly so, and also guides its readers to be even more solidly Catholic themselves. One of the major effects that I think the Register has on its readers is that it elevates the intellect. Whether it be a faith item or a news item, it presents the news and the faith item in a very balanced way. One thing that the Register can never be accused of is being too far left or too far right. It is solidly Catholic, right in line with the Chair of Peter, and I think that says a lot about the Register.
For a 6-issue free trial of the National Catholic Register, go to ncregister.com and click on the 6 free issue banner or call 800-421-3230 for your 6 free issues. And as you await your first issue, enjoy some of our online content.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the Register, joined by Matthew Bunsen, my co-host, and two other Register colleagues here in studio in Birmingham. Tom Wehner, welcome to the show.
Good. It's great to be here.
Tom Wehner is our managing editor at the Register, and we also have Kevin Knight, our social media and blog editor. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you.
So, Tom, the first January print edition every year has a similar focus. What's that?
Well, it's a look back on the previous year's news. And we're in a really interesting position and an appreciative position, I think, at the Register, in that we look at the our best stories, which often are go unnoticed by the regular news reading public. And so it's always a pleasure to work with you and Matthew Bunsen and Kevin Knight and others to put together our top stories of the year.
That's right. And so it's a picture, a real picture-focused issue. We always have key pages in the Register for those listeners who have never really picked one up. I invite you to get your hands on a copy. But this issue has the nation page full of pictures from news events of our nation over the last year. It has the world page also with pictures and a brief rundown of the top news in the world, and then the Vatican page as well with a rundown of the top stories. And so what we're going to do here on this show is to talk about some of those top stories that we focused on in this year, and that our readers, our print readers, will find in the print product in January. So I have the main image in my mind for this year is the woman of the year, who is Our Lady of Fatima, or Our Lady of the Rosary. Why is she the woman of the year, Kevin?
Well, this is the 100th anniversary of her appearance in Fatima. And so if you... I would recommend everybody go to ncregister.com, our website, and have a look back on our last year's coverage of Our Lady of Fatima. Starting with May 13th and all the way through October, we documented in story after story just to look back at the 100 years, how her predictions came true, how the church responded, and even now how there are strong notes of grace and the miraculous and the supernatural and the providential in all of the events of the past century.
And of course, those the stories or the pictures of this last year don't have to do only with, I guess, her message, but they have to do with events that took place in the course of this year that showed people focused on the Rosary and focused anew on Our Lady. Tom, what were some of those events?
Well, two in particular stand out, Jeanette. There were there were two events, one in Poland and one that took place in Ireland, that really jumped out at me. It was a massive rosary chain, and it was to call attention to Our Lady of Fatima's centenary, and they prayed the rosary en masse throughout the country. And in Ireland, which is a country that we've documented that is has struggled with retaining its Catholics, and but the faithful there came out and prayed the rosary in honor of Our Lady, it's still there's a great remnant of Catholics in that country. One other one was the amount of dioceses and the amount of across the world, basically, that consecrated themselves to Our Lady on the anniversary of Fatima.
And it was thinking back on those current events and the youthful response that we saw to the Fatima request to pray the rosary that made me bring up to our team, let's make Mary the woman of the year. And I truly think that she is. And I think that if we continue to speak about this with energy, that this desire to pray the rosary is going to come back more and more and more and more. I know I have felt it in my own life, almost a peer pressure to start saying the rosary again, because I had lost that practice. So I think it's a huge part of this year is Our Lady and the rosary.
And it seems like a very simple admonition from Our Lady to pray the rosary daily. And so I hope and pray that it spawns a revitalization of that devotion. And that anniversary, it's interesting, that 100-year anniversary, it also coincided with one of the most tragic events of 100 years ago, and it was the Russian Revolution. And I know, Matthew, you wrote about that for the Register, and you compared the fruits of Fatima with some of the fruits of the Russian Revolution.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It was 100 years ago that the regime, the dynasty of the Romanovs, fell from power in Russia. fleetingly replaced by what many in Russia hoped to be a democratic regime, but that was short-circuited. And, of course, you had in October, and early November, what was called the October Revolution, in which the communists came to power under Lenin, Stalin, and Trotsky, causing the creation of the first official atheist state. And it must have been really striking for readers of the Register and for Catholics all over the world that we have this message of Fatima that would be followed so almost immediately by the brutality of the Russian Revolution. And I know that's something that we have documented so well over the 90-year history of the Register, but it's also something that I was so happy to be able to write about because, while the event itself is terrible, the lessons of it, I think, are still something that we're trying to come to grips with and that we're seeing play out again and again, which is, I think, one of the reasons why the consecration to the Blessed Mother in so many different countries and the resurgence of the Rosary on this 100th anniversary is so significant and I think is something for all of us to be very mindful of.
You know, Matthew, one of the other things that the Russian Revolution, reflecting on that 100 years ago, that really calls to mind another defeat, and that is the defeat of ISIS this year. And that was another very big event that we covered this year. Of course, it's a struggle that we've been covering at the Register for a few years now. But ISIS was pushed back, and that is part of the story of this year.
You're absolutely right. And the defeat of ISIS, though, has created yet another vacuum in the Middle East at a time when peace seems so elusive. But one of the things that we have focused on so prominently in this year is not just religious liberty and religious persecution, the persecution of Christians, but it is also the preservation of the Christian heritage, the Christian community in the Holy Land, in the whole of the Middle East, the Near East. And we're looking at a genocide that has taken place, and that's slow, irremediable decline of the Christian population over this last century. And that's something I know that Register readers are very keen about. And I think it's important that 2017 isn't simply the watershed or some sort of a high watermark in terms of our coverage, because I know we're very committed to that coverage in 2018 and for however long we need to.
Well, thankfully, we have covered this year the return of Christians to Iraq, you know, the celebration of Christmas in Iraq, Christians back in their hometowns, able to celebrate Christmas in their hometowns. We also, as you said, covered, and I think this was 2016 when the U.S. government mentioned or classified what was happening as genocide. But this year, there has also been some discussions at the UN, unprecedented discussions, right, Matthew?
Yes, that's absolutely right. We have, for the first time, the Human Rights Commission looking at the persecution of Christians around the world. This coming on the heels of the State Department's declaration regarding genocide. But the question that's being asked by a lot of people is, what can we do as Catholics, as Americans, who have such a prominent place in the world, to help Christians not just stabilize their communities, but to encourage Christians to come back to the region, to give them that assurance? And that's something I know that Register readers are very concerned about.
So the thing I want to close this show with, of course, we could go on and on about the great stories this year, but I want to close with a couple of really great stories, and that is related to the saints. We have had beatifications on our U.S. soil. Kevin, what were those beatifications? Not Kevin, excuse me. Matthew, what were those stories on U.S., those beatifications on U.S.?
Hold it. That doesn't sound good. Let's do it again. Just ask that question to him one more time.
Matthew, what were the stories of the beatifications on U.S. soil?
Yeah, well, there were two very historic ones. The first was Father Stanley Rother from Oklahoma, who was martyred in Central America. And then, of course, the other was the beloved Father Solanus Casey, who was beatified in Detroit, the most beloved and popular of the Franciscans of the 20th century. These are important statements of holiness in the United States. We had the first American-born blessed in Stanley Rother, but also that commitment to the missionary zeal that has always characterized American life, and the humility and wisdom of Father Solanus Casey. So that the combination of zeal, wisdom, and humility of those two blesseds, I think our readers, I know, were fascinated by the stories. And the articles that were posted, especially Father Solanus Casey's, our coverage of his beatification, were some of the most widely read articles and blog posts throughout the whole year.
And Tom, there's one international beatification I wanted to mention because it is so reminiscent of Maria Goretti. And it's a beatification that occurred, I believe, in India?
Yes, it did. It occurred in August, and it was she was a Franciscan sister, and her name is Sister Rani Maria, and she was beatified actually on November 4th in India, and the event was witnessed and attended by her killer, which echoes Maria Goretti's canonization back in the 1920s, I believe.
That I love that story. It's sister, so it's now Blessed Rani Maria, mm-hmm. and it's a new saint of India who, again, echoes Maria Goretti. I have to say my favorite story, and it was a smaller story of this year, was about the La Florida martyrs and the cause of canonization that is a process that is rolling for martyrs of Florida. And it's a drive away for me. I can't wait to take my kids to the site there in Florida. So this has been a beautiful year, focus on Mary, a focus on the saints. Of course, there was tragedy, but all of this can be found in the Register's Look Back edition in the first week of January. Remember, for more news, analysis, and commentary, check out ncregister.com. Thanks for joining us here on Register Radio on EWTN. For Matthew Bunsen and our producer, Jeff Burson, I'm Jeanette DeMello. Until next week, God bless.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.